Jerry Bader Show. I have not had a chance to dig into this. So I had to drive down to the Fox Cities yesterday, and I was listening to Sean Hannity. He's got this meteorologist friend of his who's kind of his house meteorologist. And they're talking about really what they spent. They talked about how our part of the nation has just been hit so hard by the cold, and talked about what's happening. And I really haven't talked about it. What's happening in the southern United States? Thousands of students stranded in schools overnight in Alabama. They don't know how to handle snow there. They got snow and ice. So Atlanta just paralyzed. They don't know. They don't deal with this. They simply don't. It's just foreign to them. Imagine how freaked out you would be, and this has happened in Wisconsin, if suddenly the earth started moving. Whoa. Okay, people who live in earthquake zones, they get used to that. We get used to driving in this, although some morons think they're more used to it than they really are. Just throwing that out there, I have dealt with a lot of that in the last week. I know how to drive in this. Going 60, 70 miles an hour when they should be doing 30 and 40. And as I say, the people who are doing 15 or 20 are almost as dangerous. But we do adapt to it, and they're really struggling to adapt to it. Trying to hold back a sneeze over here, Jason. That's why I'm holding my nose like this. And I can't decide whether it's going to blast out or not. I think I got it. You thought Willie Nelson was guest hosting? Yeah, that's a pretty good shot over there. Yeah, yeah, all right. Hey, here's the next one we're going to do. Yeah, that is pretty close. That is pretty close now, isn't it? I just don't sing. Not in public, anyway. So he had this meteorologist on, and they were talking about this and that, and I have to try to find the long term, because this, and I can't think of the guy's name, but one of the reasons Hannity has him on is he is a meteorologist long time, forever and ever and ever, who does not accept global warming theory. And he was saying, look, this has nothing to do with carbon emissions. He believes this is going to be the worst winter in the United States since 1917. That would be a long time ago. 1917. He then said something else. And this is the part that I just haven't, I'm really swamped these days. Listeners are throwing a lot of really good tips at me, which is great. And I'm trying, and by the way, if you've sent me a tip recently, and I'm working on it. I know, Jason, it does sound like the check is in the mail, but I have so much stuff going on right now. But that doesn't mean you shouldn't send me a tip if you think you've got something really good. Jerry Bader Show at MWCRadio.com. No, I can't use washing my hair. I don't have enough hair for that to fly. Of all of my things of the day, that's what takes the least amount of time. But if you do have a tip, Jerry Bader showed MWCRadio.com, and I am working on some. Here's what this guy said, and I do want to dig into this. He said February is going to be just as bad as January in our part of the country. God, I hope he's wrong. Because I got to tell you, I don't know if I can take it anymore. And if it's not bad enough that it's colder than cold, then they have to blame it on global warming. Talk about rubbing salt into an open wound. What? All right, when you had these time after time after time in 1917, 1966, 1982, 1996, well, they would blame 96 on global warming because that's when they figured out this scam by then already. But I haven't had a chance to see what he was talking about. And unfortunately, Hannity cut him off. He was starting to explain it, and then Hannity asked him a different question, which happens. I'm not criticizing Sean Hannity. I'm just saying it happens. But it was frustrating. Oh, wait, Sean, let him answer. Because he was starting to detail what it was going to be. So I'm going to start taking a look. Maybe, I don't know, maybe I'll try some of the local meteorologists here in town. See if they have any insight on that, on what he was talking about. And what I will tell you this, it appeared to me anyway, that he wasn't talking about snow. He was talking about more very, very, very cold weather. It's true. I'm not an old man, but I'm not a young man either. I'm in my 50s. It is harder. My parents were right. Because I remember when I was a kid, and you would have these long stretches, and I will confess, it's been a number of years since we've had, this is brutal. And Jason and I literally felt it in our bones. We knew it was going to be bad. I didn't think it was going to be this bad. You are tired. I forgot every hat I practically own. I forgot here at the building. So I didn't have a hat to wear coming in. I went out and started the car for my daughter this morning. How long did that take? It's parked in our driveway. Went out. But I had to walk right into that wind. And I was too lazy to go back and get a hat when I left last night. Walked into that wind. You get back into the warm confines of a building, you're tired. I mean, you feel like you've worked. And those of you who do work outside, I don't care if you're a public employee. I don't care what you do. It is just brutal. It really is. And I'm telling you, I can't handle it like I could when I was young. All right, I want to share this with you. We have been sharing the story. This is pretty, I will say this. The mainstream media has spent a lot of time on this. Not a lot, but I mean, they're not ignoring it. It's fair to say they're not ignoring it. It is the story of the Middleton teacher caught watching porn in school. Due to an arbitrator's decision, he was reinstated. Parents protested Friday as a result, but he was reinstated back in school with $200,000 back pay. The teacher's argument is, the teacher's union argument, or his argument, is, well, you, other people were doing this and you didn't fire them, and the arbitrator bought that nonsense. The school district's counterargument is he was a much bigger offender. It sounds like he was the ringleader of this, downloading it and sharing it. And others were viewing his product, if you will. I'm not saying he originated the porn, but that he downloaded it and so on. That's what it sounds like. So now this guy's back in the classroom. Parents aren't excited about that. School district can't do anything about it. Here's an element of it that I haven't discussed all that much. Ever since this happened back in, what is it, 2010, the DPI has had in their hands an investigation whether to revoke his license, his teaching license in Wisconsin. They haven't moved on it. They haven't done that. 4 years. Well, three for whatever. I don't remember where in 2010 this happened. But it was sometime in 2010. He remains under investigation by the DPI and can be revoked for immoral conduct. The state has not done anything on this. And Superintendent Tony Evers has been bugged about this. Yesterday, Governor Scott Walker sent Evers a letter saying, revoke his license. I'm going to read a lot of the letter to you. Dear Superintendent Evers, since taking office, I have worked to put in place reforms giving local school districts the tools they need to hire and fire teachers based on merit, performance, and professional conduct. With the passage of Act 10, schools now have the ability to move away from the old contracts which prevented them from doing so. The reforms support excellence in education because they ensure our students are educated by the best and brightest teachers. The reforms also protect students from teachers who may engage in immoral conduct or fall short of the expectations put forth by parents, the community, and school leaders. This is important not only to me, but also to parents and caretakers all throughout our state. In 2010, the elected officials serving on the school board overseeing the Middleton Cross Plains Area School District made the decision to terminate the employment of middle school teacher Andrew Harris after an investigation revealed he repeatedly viewed pornographic material at school and on a computer. Unfortunately, the union arbitration process ordered that he be allowed to return to the classroom with back pay. The district has spent about $1 million on costs and legal fees in this case. $1 million, he goes on. Reforms we put in place in Act 10 put the power back in the hands of local officials, including school boards, so they can make the decisions they feel best serve their students and their community. While the defense of Mr. Harris's actions by the teachers' union ultimately negated the desire of the school board to remove him from the classroom, it appears that his behavior meets the definition of immoral conduct under state statutes. After hearing from concerned parents, I am asking you to act efficiently in your investigation into the actions of Mr. Harris and to initiate revocation proceedings, revoke his license. The arbitration process afforded to Mr. Harris failed the school district and the students. It has taken both a financial and emotional toll on the district. Cases such as this one are a good example of why our reforms are necessary. I am confident that the overwhelming majority of teachers and educators across the state and in the Middleton Cross Plains District are committed and dedicated to working hard every day for the benefit of our students, their families, and our state as a whole. Teachers who make decisions that contradict what is best for students shed a negative light on their colleagues and the district, and in some cases put students at risk. Parents and caretakers deserve to know they are sending children to schools where everyone on staff is committed to excellence. Thank you for your swift action on this matter. I look forward to your review and remedy. Sincerely, Scott Walker, Governor. Two thoughts on this. This is why Act 10 was crucial. And I have said this in relation to this case several times. What is the biggest lie that union members and the education establishment put forward when, not the biggest, but one of the biggest, when we were going through Act 10? And that was that rare moment in time when we got a lot of liberals calling this show. It took something that big for them to just not listen and to call. They listen every day and think nobody knows they're listening because they won't call. Well, we always knew you were out there, and you showed yourself in 2011. You couldn't help but call because this so angered you. Some of the calls made the air. Some of the calls just made Jason's ears hurt. But in any event, they called and they complained. And one of the biggest lies they told, you're not telling the truth when you say it's hard to fire a bad teacher. That's really not true. The union arbitration process made it damn near impossible. Act 10 changes that. If they weren't under the contract when this happened, they could fire the guy. Employers should be able to fire bad employees. Now, I understand that they were represented by a union. I don't think professionals should be. Teachers want to be treated by doctors and lawyers, but then they want to play under the same rules as trade unions. You cannot have it both ways. Walker is absolutely right here. This is one of the things that made Act 10 so very, very important. That you could fire bad teachers, and that includes for immoral behavior. This is, too. There is no legitimate excuse for why the DPI has been sitting on this revocation investigation for as long as it has. None. Not one. Other than they don't want to deal with it. My guess is they waited for the arbitration process to play out and the court appeals of that arbitration process. Those have now played out and the district lost. They had to rehire the guy. My guess is if the district had won, they would have quickly revoked him. The DPI doesn't know what to do now. Tony Evers, of course, is in the pocket of the education establishment. He's not going to be popular with his base if he now revokes a teacher who has been reinstated to the classroom. I believe that's why he is just sitting silent on this. And that's what's shameful about teachers across the state. Scott Walker is right. Most of them do not engage in this behavior. Most of them do have children's best interest in mind, at least to one degree or another. But the reality is, for whatever bizarre reason, a lot of teachers want a goon like this protected. It doesn't make any sense, but they do. The state can now remedy what an arbitrator caused. They should. Will Tony Evers do this? If I had to predict, I would say no. He's not going to do this. And that will be shameful. I could be wrong. He may surprise me. But there is no reason in the world not to revoke this guy's teaching license in Wisconsin. And why in the hell is it taking this long? It's 9:51.
The Jerry Bader Show.